Here's Ray Ferraro, our TSN hockey analyst. I guess we'll begin there. Your take on Kadri last night.
He was out of control, emotional, you know, like it. And it's been a long time since he's been like that, like 2 years, I think. Like, that was the old way I remember Kadri playing. Like, everything just bubbled out of him last night. And he had just come out of the penalty box for the hit on Wingles before. And I don't even know how much time passed from the end of that penalty to the play with Wingles, Martin, and Kadri. But he's put himself and his team in a bad spot here because they say they don't compare plays, and I take Department of Player Safety at their word in that case, but if Doughty's won, I think Kadri's more than won.
Yeah. Yeah, these guys have been saying all day, brace yourself for two, at least. He's not playing tomorrow night. Like, you could tell, just based on practice and what Babcock said, they know he's getting at least a game. That's happening. And you're right. I mean, in terms of him completely flying off the deep end, first time in a couple of years, but he always is he's a reactionary guy. He can be a loose cannon. I'm glad you brought up the fact that he had just gotten out of the box because of his hit on Wingles. I think he was pissed off that that got called, and the game was sputtering out of control to begin with, and that's the double-edged sword when it comes to Kadri. The emotion, when it's directed in a positive way, he's a you-know-what disturber. He's an effective player. He's a gamer. He's a guy that you love to have on your team because he's going to show up. And I thought he showed up last night. But the flip side of the coin is, if he loses his cool and does something stupid, he takes himself out of a game, literally, because he's not going to play tomorrow night.
Well, the first couple of days of the playoffs always are supercharged anyway, but it seemed like they just took these guys all out of cages in the first two games, and they just pitch them out there, and they're like, it's like they're all running around like out of their minds.
I didn't see five hits all year, and all of a sudden there's five a shift.
Well, I like the players here in Vegas and LA, they both kind of went, okay, wait a minute, I think the hit totals were a little inflated, but however many inflated hits they put on the sheet, they had cataloged 129 in the first game. So say it was only 100. You're like 100 hits. Like, it's almost like there wasn't a puck there. And so the game last night, I mean, like, you know, there was that scrum in the first period where Backes is on top of JVR and he's face grinding him there and whatever else is going on behind him. And somehow the game just got away from them. They weren't fast enough. Toronto's intimidation has to be with their speed, and it has to be with the way that they move the puck. And Boston took all of that away.
Ray, what would you do as far as line combinations and matchups? Would it be Austin Matthews just play better? Would you try to get away from Bergeron? Would you have different line mates to kind of counter Boston? They have their three best players on the top line. What would your approach be?
Well, I guess Marlowe's going to move into the middle. Is that what we saw at practice?
Yes.
Yeah,
so now you've got Marlowe, Bozak, and Matthews. I didn't... You know, we talked about Plekanec the other day, and they got crushed last night. They never touched the puck. I would have Matthews play more, and I'd have him at times double shift, because then you're in that second shift, which if Johnsson's in the game and he's on the ice with Johnsson, or he's on the ice with Kapanen, that's against a matchup that Boston's not too worried about. But now you got Matthews out against their third defense pair. I would do that. I would be more, I think they're going to have to be more creative than just running the lines over the boards here. I don't know that I got my head around that Komarov's going to play with Matthews. I don't know if that's for the whole game or part of the game, but I do see times when Johnsson's up there too.
Yeah, I agree with you. I would have Johnsson play with them. You got to try to, like Char, we talked about this in the previous hour. He's still very effective, and he had a great game last night. He and McAvoy with the Bergeron line, they just destroyed the Matthews line. Riley and Hainsey, they had a great game. But we keep talking about the evolution of the sport where you can't stick check anymore. You can't be overly physical. You got to find a way to expose that, because those can be weaknesses for Chara. Do it with speed.
Well, you're not going to out-muscle him.
No.
So, like, if you get, you know, like, I don't understand, like, it's an old thought, I guess, is what I would say. It's an older thought that, you know, they're big and strong, so we've got to be big and strong, too. But that's not how you're built. You're built as a team that scares the hell out of other people because they skate and move the puck. Now, last night was a write-off on 20 different ways for them. Their special teams stunk. Their penalty killing is, man, this has been a while now that they've been off the rails on the penalty kill. And they give up the 3 last night. Hell, that game was 1-1. They had back-to-back power plays at the start of the second period. And they didn't get a sniff. I mean, they got some chances, but they didn't score. So I think they have to maybe re-examine a little bit here. There's no time to panic. You've lost one game. You're in the other team's rank. You haven't lost your home game yet. Nothing like that. But re-examine what you are. And I talked about this a little bit before, that you can't be what you're not. I would have loved to have been 6'2 and punched some guy in the face at times in the playoffs, but I wasn't. So I had to do it the way I was. And I think that's important for Toronto. Don't get pushed around. Battle for pucks. Fight for pucks. Win pucks that are in there when you chip them into the zone, but intimidate with your speed, because Boston's going to do it another way.
Yep.
Well, I'll give credit to Bruce Cassidy and his decision to play that Bergeron line against the Matthews line. He killed two birds with one stone, because he knew they were going to score, and by doing so, they had the puck all night. He was going to take away the most powerful and potent line all in one. And that's what happened last night. Like,
what
it could
luxury,
not have worked
huh?
out any better.
To have Bergeron, though, like, to be able to do that, that he can check, but, and then they, I mean, I don't know, how many shots did they have last night, the Bergeron line? It seemed like they were getting two shots a shift.
Yeah. So what does Matthews do? Like, there's pressure on him. He's got to be a lot better tomorrow night.
Oh, well, for sure. And I don't know. I think he will be. I know sometimes in the playoffs, because everything's so sudden, you know, you tend to overreact. Not anyone in particular, but everyone, about, that was so bad, it can't be good in game two. The kid's a fantastic player. I suspect he'll be better, but it's not easy, because just for what you said, Brian, it's against Bergeron, and they're not a checking line. You know, so now you've got to play without the puck. You waste a pile of energy if you don't get it first. They have to find a way to get it first and to control it a bit in the zone. Make Bergeron and Pasternak and Marchand play down by their net, because they sure didn't have to do it last night.
Well, and I think it's on Babcock, too. He's got to find a way. He's got to be more creative. And, I mean, it was the most obvious exposure last night in terms of Babcock having a tough night was the end of the second period. You can't have the fourth line on the ice against the Bergeron line with a minute to go in a 2-1 game.
Brucey Cassidy's eyes lit up like dinner plates.
Now, hang on. Let me remind or refresh here. That wasn't off an icing, right?
Yeah, sir. No, it wasn't.
They ended up getting hemmed in there. There was an icing, though, but it was after they were on the ice. They were put
no,
out
but
there
I mean,
then...
like, so they didn't have to start.
No,
with Placanic.
No, there was a stop by the goaltender, and that's when trouble happened.
I don't have the same faith, obviously, in the fourth line as he does.
Yeah, you're right. It was a mismatch. Period.
Like they shouldn't be on the ice. Period. With like 2 minutes left, three minutes left.
The thing is, the shifts they had earlier, they were awful. They were hemmed in their zone the whole night.
Yeah, Babcock had an awful night. He had an awful night.
Well, and so did his players.
Well, for sure. I mean, it's 90% on the players.
Yeah,
but
like,
coach
Kapanen, was it Kapanen who got danced by Marchand in the corner? That was an unreal shake and bake. Like that was gross.
Yeah, he lost them there, and then all of a sudden, now he's got room to make the play, right? And,
Ray, who's supposed to pick up that offside call? Because Marchand was offside. Is that Babs? Is that the? You got to think a lot of that's on the video.
You mean on the first goal?
Yeah.
I'm guessing.
And I get it that everyone was looking at Bergeron
from the room. Right, the video guy will call from the room to, I think Jim Hiller's always got the earpiece in. And so they'll look at that immediately, and if they don't think it's clear enough early in the game, they're probably not going to take the chance and go shorthanded on it. Because if they're wrong, the goal counts, and then Boston gets a power play.
Mm-hmm.
And so that becomes a double dip. And it was really close, you know. I think I like didn't you think it was really close?
Yeah, I could understand that. Like, it's easy now to look back on it and be like, wait a minute, it actually was offside, and they dropped the puck pretty quickly. But I understood in the moment the logic, like, uh-oh, we're down 1-0, and we could be down another
two-minute
penalty here.
Yeah.
You know,
okay,
you
guys,
know,
I'll give you an example. I did a game in in Winnipeg against Boston, the Jets, late in the season. There was a really close play at the blue line on a Bruins power play. They scored on the play. Paul Maurice challenged the call. The Bruins got another power play, and they scored again. So because of the challenge, they ended up with two power play goals. And he said after the game, Maurice did, if that was the playoffs, I wouldn't have challenged that call.
Yeah. Yeah, you're right. You got to be, you have to be 100% sure, or 99.9. Like, that's the truth. But it's easy for us, like I say, in hindsight, after 10 minutes after the play happens, you have to be sharp. I mean, the video guy has to have every angle. The coaches are looking. Like, you have to have an instinct as to, like, I think this was offside. And if it's that close, I wouldn't challenge it either, because if you do end up costly, that could be your TSN turning point. And that goal by Marchand wasn't the TSN turning point, unfortunately.
No, they tied it up later in the game.
They tied it up right away, and they were still in the game. You know, so you can look back and you can circle things that didn't go well. I mean, that's what people do. We're picking at the carcass right now. You know, people were saying there was a missed high stick on Komarov. Well, Komarov had high stuck, I think it was McQuaid.
It
was on the same play. They both high stuck each other.
Yeah, it was like a wrestling move where they
exactly.
both run into each other.
So people are like, well, he's cut. Well, go check McQuaid's face too. So, like, there's so many things that, you know, you can go back and say, well, this happened and this happened. Unfortunately, from top to bottom, what you went through, Brian, all the bullet points when we had Trump talking, all of them didn't come through last night. It went south.
What has to happen tomorrow? I mean, that's what Leaf fans
exactly.
They're ready to turn the page. What do you have to see 5-10 minutes into the game, Ray, to be like, all right, they've forgotten about game one and they're in it tonight?
I want to see the D move the puck to the forwards. Like, I want the puck gets dumped in, move it, skate, handle the puck. Like, don't just chip it out to center and then get the hell off the ice, because that's eventually where the play just gets hemmed into your half of the ice. I can't remember, guys, this is probably an exaggeration. I don't remember in the early part of the game, you know, like the first two periods before the game kind of got out of hand, but a half a dozen clean breakouts where they came out and they looked super fast. That to me means if they can do that, that means that they're settled, that they're in the game. They handle the puck clean from the D. They, you know, the guys are in the right area when they circle their route to break out. They make one pass, two pass, they're out. Now Boston's got to skate back. They got to go backwards. That, to me, would be a great first 10 minutes.
Yeah.
Yeah, I'm with you on that, man. I mean,
Ray, what do you think of it? Is it just another domination game? Is it like 5 or less? You know, they might sneak one out at home?
See, before the series, we picked them, and my thought was, hell, I don't even know why I'm picking Boston, because I think they're a little better maybe, but I think it's an even series. Like, I'd be surprised if Toronto got thumped again like that.
Yeah, I agree.
Yeah.
Although I do think they're gonna miss Kadri, man. He's an important guy for them. Just like I'm out here, somehow LA's got to win tonight, and they're missing three of their top four defensemen. And one of them plays 28 minutes a night.
Poof. Yep.
Yeah, no, it's very similar. I think Doughty, obviously, is even more important than Kadri is to Toronto. But
oh, for sure. By the way, I wish more guys were like him. I don't know if you guys got to hear his press conference.
Yeah.
It was like he's so forthright, like honest.
Yeah.
We were hoping someone was going to ask him a question, and he was just going to go off. Like, when he said that the decision was BS, I'm like, uh-oh, he's close here. He's up on the rails now. But he brought it back in.
Were you surprised they even allowed him to speak to the media?
A little bit. I'm almost certain that, like, I am certain they had a chat with him before he went up to the podium. Like, do not say
that. Yeah,
this.
Exactly. Don't
come off
the rails.
He cares about that.
I think he's one of those guys, like, who is actually more candid, Doughty or Carlson?
Yeah, no, both. That's a tie. But don't you, like, the honesty and the openness, maybe you can only be like that if you're a star.
Yeah.
But he got up there, and he's like, you know, before I start, I'd like to, well, actually, I got a lot of things to say, but before I start, that's how he started. And I was like, you know, he said, you know, he's glad Carrier's okay. But he said, I got to say, no, I got lots of things to say. I was like, oh, this is going to be good.
Oh, you knew he would, man. Like, he's outspoken. He brings the heat. I love him.
Yeah.
And, you know, and we were joking about this earlier, too. He didn't do anyone else any favors with some of his comments where he effectively told George Parros, if you're suspending me, you better suspend Kadri, Johansson, and Tom Wilson.
Yeah, he goes, you got four or five other ones
tonight. He just put everyone on notice.
Everybody else. Like, you guys are getting suspended, too, because if I'm going down for what I don't think was a suspendable hit.
Yeah.
And, like, Johansson, I got to think, is getting suspended. It was a carbon copy, basically, of the Doughty hit. Might have been worse.
The only difference, as I understand it, is that Johansson got almost all body.
Okay.
And Doughty didn't.
Yeah.
The Tom Wilson one, I mean, that guy gives me the creeps sometimes the way he plays, man. Like, he seems like he's a suspension or a half a foot away from a suspension all the time.
He's reckless.
But last night, like, does he not hit all body? I've only seen it a couple times.
I didn't think it was an awful hit, to be honest. Like, again, I'm trying to be objective as possible. But, like, you know, he goes in there, and like you say, preconceived notion. He's Zach Rinaldo, but 6'4", 230 pounds. That's how reckless he plays. Like, every time he's on the ice, he's a monster. I don't know if you've ever stood beside him, Ray. Yeah, like he's
a monster.
He's a house, and he can fly out there. So everything he does, to me, has that little edge of like, oh, if this guy gets all of that player, it's going to be a massive collision. It's not just a shoulder on shoulder. If he can knock somebody out, just how physically big he is.
Okay, but here's something. Guys, I don't quite understand, so I'm just watching it as you're talking.
Right.
It looks like his shoulder makes contact with his head first, but that doesn't matter anymore.
Right.
He makes the contact with the head, I think, because Venberg is bent over, and he goes right through his body. And so I don't, to be honest with you, I don't think that's a suspension.
Yeah, I didn't.
My initial instinct was
I didn't think it was an egregious hit, but you know the league has to be consistent, and maybe they go through it and realize it's not.
That's dangerous too. If you start looking at it and saying, "Well, we gave Doughty this, so we better find it on that," but
my point being is that maybe they look at it again and say, yeah, it's not a suspendable hit, and they explain that there was the time, I think it was actually Tom Wilson, where they came out and explained why it wasn't a suspension. Adam Oates was still the coach back then. Mm-hmm. It was on a forecheck play. And, like, I mean, Wilson is a guy whose name is circled quite a lot because he plays like that.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah, I mean, there were some plays last night that were aggressive.
Well, we'll see what happens tonight. Three more games tonight, and Leafs back in action tomorrow night. Enjoy it out there, buddy. Try to survive this weekend if you can. When are you going to L.A.? I guess tomorrow? Or
tomorrow morning.
Yeah. That's
so I think we're going to squeeze around a golf.
I was just going to say, you'll be on the links by the afternoon.
Did you go to Top Golf yesterday?
Did not go to Top Golf. I got stuck at the pool.
Stuck.
That's
at
a bar, shame.
At a table service in a cabana. Yeah, that's
it was... Yeah, it's a good pool, too.
Cuthbert in a Speedo. I love it.
You've been with CC Noodles. It took him half a day to find the pool.
Be awesome. Him wearing a Crown Royal bag for a Speedo. Just brilliant.
By the way, I do enjoy our group text during the game. I think that needs to continue.
Yeah. It'll be emotional tomorrow night.
It was emotional last night.
Oh, dude, it was quite something. All four of us going in different directions on different plays, different takes.
Was zero cohesion to that.
Yeah.
Because one guy says, did you see this? Then another guy's like, how about that? And then, like, there was no responses to the initial comment.
It's kind of like the show.
Yeah, basically.
Pretty much.
Yeah. There's no rhyme or reason for anything we do on this show.
Exactly.
So let's continue it tomorrow night.
Perfect. Well, I'm not going to be on tomorrow night.
No, I know.
Isn't tomorrow Saturday?
Yeah, but via text tomorrow night.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. Absolutely.
All right, buddy.
It's
we'll text
voice.
Then.
Have a great weekend.
There he is. Yeah. Ray Ferraro, TSN hockey analyst, living the life in Vegas, off to L.A. tomorrow.